In Galatians chapter 4, the fourth chapter, we find one of the many verses that emphasizes the theme of this Christmas message series at just the right time. And I'd like for you to look at those opening words there in Galatians 4 and 4 with me. Galatians 4 and 4. But when the right time came, God sent His Son. God's timing is always right, and we can always trust God's timing. And I want us to focus on that for the next few minutes this morning, trusting God's timing in our life. Father, we open our hearts now to Your Word. We pray that we would receive it fully and gladly to give You praise and glory for all that You are doing in this world, in our lives, and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever ponder the what-if questions? You know, my what-if question was, what if Kim and I had not had a mutual friend that lived in my hometown? And what if she had not been talking about Kim one day, just in casual conversation, talking about her friend who lived 50 miles away? And what if I had not asked our mutual friend to introduce us? What if Kim had not come to that football game on a Friday night with our mutual friend and I bumped into them at the concession stand at a football game? What if, what if, what if? And I think how different my life would be. And Kim's thinking, boy, my life would sure be different, I can tell you. But sometimes in our lives we ask these what-if questions. And would things have been different in my life if I had not just been at the right place at the right time, we say. And sometimes we feel like that we are in the wrong place at the wrong time. But many times we wonder how different things would even be in our world if certain things had not have happened. How different it would have been in our lives if Columbus had not discovered America, or that the Pilgrims had not been persecuted and came to this land to find a new country. On and on we can go, which many of us may find ourselves descendants of those pilgrims so long ago. The truth of the matter is that we maybe have at one time or the other asked these what-if questions. Where were we in time when certain things came together? But a huge question that maybe we could ask is, what if Christ had never been born? What if Jesus had not come to this world in our human flesh? Now, He would have existed, because the Bible says in John 1 and 1 that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that He would have existed, but what if He had not been born into our life, into our situation, into our world? We would not have known Him as Savior. We would not have known Him as Lord. We would still be in our sins. We would still have the sentence of death and condemnation hanging over us. If He had not come, we would not have known Him as a Savior that we could have peace and joy and hope of eternity in our lives. And I think about if Jesus had not been born, we would not have known Him, and we would not have known God as Father, because Jesus came to reveal to us what God is really like, and that God really does love you. He really does love us as a Father. As a Father, you know, He protects us and He provides for us. There's only a handful of times that God is revealed in the Old Testament to be a father to the nation of Israel. And it was more of a national thing. But when Jesus came, hundreds of times we read through the New Testament where Jesus and His followers address God as
Father, as Abba, from their hearts. And we think about the privilege of that relationship, not a distant God, but that one that has come near and lives in our hearts and dwells with us. And a Father that looks at our lives and develops us and takes pride in us and believes in us, just as a good earthly father would do. How much more would we know God, or we would not know God as Father, had Jesus not been born? But Jesus was born. John 1 and 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us." He made His dwelling right here. The one who is eternal left eternity in that sense and stepped into time and to our flesh to dwell among us. And the thing about Jesus' birth is that it was not a random act. Jesus' birth didn't just happen. Jesus' birth wasn't just by chance, but Jesus' birth was by divine design. And the timing of Jesus' birth, the Scripture tells us, was very important in the mind of God. Even before you were made, even before creation came into existence, God already had in mind the coming of His Son and the precise timing of the coming of His Son. And I want to just say right here that it was no accident that Jesus was born and when He was born, and neither are you an accident. God knows you, and He cares about you, and you matter. And what's going on in your life matters. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, in verses 13 through 16, how that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God saw you there in the secret place of your mother's womb, and all the days of your life were ordered of the Lord and ordained of the Lord before you even lived a one of them. And it's so important for us in this message of Christmas that we talk about the birth of Christ and we think about that great event in history for us. But yet, it really comes down to a message of how important God sees every one of us in His own lives. Now, when we begin to think about the coming of Christ and the birth of Christ, I want us to think about the right time for the birth of the Lord Jesus, that He came just at the right time. I love to meditate on those passages of Scripture that talks about the birth of the Lord and the timing of that birth. And I don't know, maybe this would be a good study for you this Christmas season, since we're talking about at just the right time, to go through the Bible and just in general look at how important timing is to God and how Jesus ordered His very life by the timing principles of God. But in Luke 2 and 1, that kind of begins part of the Christmas narrative for us. The Bible says, at that time. Would you repeat that with me? At that time. It was a specific time. It was a preordained time. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the entire Roman Empire. Now, none of the events surrounding Christ's birth, as I've already said, were random events. They weren't by chance. That it was, again, divinely ordered of the Lord. And Augustus Caesar may have called for a census, but he was not ruling in the affairs of men, but the God of heaven was in charge. And I think of that passage in Proverbs 21 and 1, that God holds the heart of the king and He directs it wherever He will, like a water course. Isn't it wonderful that the God of history is the God that's in control of history? And we're not here this morning by chance, nor are we under the whims of some tyrannical ruler. I appreciate America. I'm glad I live in America, and I'm glad the what if worked out for me to be born in America, but I'm more glad that I'm part of the kingdom of God, that when everything, even in America, starts getting shaken, there's a God who is unshakable. And He's on His throne for you, and He's on His throne for me, and this world even, as He loves us all. And the Scripture teaches us, of course, that when that decree for the census went out, that Joseph, being of the lineage of David, the king, his ancestor, had to go to Bethlehem, and he had, at that moment, take his betrothed Mary with him. because she was about to deliver a baby. He couldn't leave her behind. And the scripture says this in verse 5 and verse 6 of Luke's gospel, chapter 2, says that while they were there, the time came, there it is again, for her baby to be born. The timing of the Lord. It was important that the scripture prophecy in Micah 5 and 2 be fulfilled. Again, how much God is in control of your life and mine in this world. That Micah 5 and 2 prophesied hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus that he had to be born in Bethlehem. So it was that moment in time that everything orchestrated by God was coming together. When I think about the timing of Christ's birth to us and how important that is, one of the most astounding prophecies in all of the scriptures. And by the way, there are 300 Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled as the Messiah in the most minute way, so that there is absolutely no question that he is the Messiah. But one of the most astounding of those prophecies is found in Daniel chapter 9 in verse 25, when Daniel prophesied of the time of the birth of the Savior, of the Messiah. And he said this, he said, "Know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens." You do the math and you realize that he was right on time. Daniel, through the Holy Spirit, knew that Christ would be born at a specific time. So important that we understand that God is a God of timing, that God is a God who is in control. What an amazing prophecy to be fulfilled at just the right time, according to Daniel's prophecy. And we can go through the prophecies this morning, all of them, many of them, and maybe over the next few weeks we will look back at some of those prophecies. But the point is that you can trust God's timing for your personal life. You can trust God's timing in your world this morning. You and I don't have to be upset by the events going on around us in our world. Regardless of the terrorism and regardless of the violence, and we grieve. But we don't have to feel that God has somehow forgotten us. That he very, very much is aware of what timetable we are on today. And I'll tell you this, Jesus is coming again. And Jesus said, "No man knows that day nor the hour, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father knows that day." And he's got a day appointed that he's coming back to restore us back to our full image in bodily form, to be in the presence of God forever and forever. But it was at the right time, from a historical perspective as well, that Jesus, not just an eternal perspective, not just in the mind of God, but God so arranged that according to the history of what was going on in the world. You say, "Well, why didn't Jesus come 1,000 years before he came? Or why didn't he come in 2016? Well, God had that appointed time. And it's interesting how that everything in the world had come to a great crescendo for the birth of Jesus historically. The scriptures teach us that at this time they were under the Roman authority, and Rome had so, in their mind, conquered the known world. But there were great benefits in history that came about because of Rome's rise to power as a world ruler, world power at that time. We know that it was just the right time because Roman law had brought in a sense of peace. Now, it's not the peace that we know that God gives to us, that we have reconciliation and justification with God, the great peace. It's not the peace that even passes our human understanding when we trust him in prayer. But it was a world peace. It was a peace that Rome, because of its laws, had put down so many tribal wars that were going on and so much uncertainty. It was a time of peace, and people could move freely throughout the empire, traveling from one town to another, even by the seas, by the seaways, we are told in history that Rome had kind of done away with the pirates that ruled the sea. And there was a time of that kind of peace so that people could move about with some kind of certainty. But there were the Roman roads that they had built. Now, they built these roads so that their great armies could move quickly from one side of the empire to another. But God had a greater plan. And he knew that there was going to be an Apostle Paul and a Peter and a Thomas that was going to go to India, and his disciples and his apostles, and they were going to turn this world upside down. And God prepared the seas. He prepared the roads and the bridges so that his gospel could travel very quickly and spread, as he said, we are to go into all the world and preach this gospel. And the Romans made these great roads that historically it was just the right time for Jesus to come, so that Christianity and the gospel, the good news of salvation, could spread throughout the world. But then there was the Greek language. And the Romans had overtaken the Greek Empire, the Grecian Empire, several hundred years before Jesus. But an interesting thing occurred. They kept the Greek language as more or less the worldwide language of the times. And it was an interesting thing, because when the Jews came out of Babylonian captivity several hundred years before, 500 or 600 years before, they settled all over the world, really. Many of them never went back to Israel proper, and there were synagogues there. And it was incumbent upon Judaism to translate the Old Testament Hebrew into the Greek language, so that there would be one message, one word throughout the world, especially in Judaism, and it's called the Septuagint. And that translation was came about during that time. And it's interesting that the Roman government allowed the Grecian language to be the dominant language, because there has never been a language like like Greek, and especially in that time, the Koine language. You know, it is the most expansive language of known, and many scholars believe, ever that has ever been known. It gave such rise to theological ideas and philosophical ideas of that time. For example, in the English language, we have one word for love, and that word love is used if I love Kim's chocolate cake, or I love my wife, which is important, or if I love God. But the Greek language gave 5 different Greek words to give to us the depth and the intensity and the intimacy of the words, and how that the New Testament would be written in the Greek language. And we get that great word agape that describes the love of God. And it was in that language of the Greeks that we could understand the unconditional love of God, the immeasurable love of God, the boundless love of God, the love of God that loves you when you're right and when you're wrong, the love of God that loves you when you're a sinner and when you're a saint, the love of God that never fails, because God is love. And we have that great message of his love here today. But it was such a crucial time, such a pivotal time in history. There was such deterioration in religion. And many, because of the philosophies of the day and the philosophers, many began to see through all the pagan religions. But then Rome came along, and they exalted Caesar to be Lord. But there was such emptiness. They might could declare that Caesar is Lord, but there was no peace in their heart. There was no forgiveness. There was no cleansing. There was no assurance in their lives. And morality was at an all-time low, we know. So it's in this setting, this historical setting, that the message of truth and grace came from God like at no other time, to bring peace and assurance and hope and forgiveness of sins and eternal life, peace and righteousness that would truly come through this one man, Jesus Christ. And no wonder Paul writes in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come. From this time on, the world would never be the same, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this message 2,000 years later is just as relevant today as it's ever been.
I love this passage that I'm about to give you. When we talk about God's timing in Romans 5 and 6, it says when we were utterly helpless. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Can I hear an amen? You know, what a wonderful truth. What a wonderful assurance. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Would you look at your neighbor and just say, now is the day of salvation. Right now. Because at just the right time, Jesus came. And he died on that old rugged cross, carrying your sin and shame and encompassing the very wrath of God that we all deserve, and paid that price for us and rose again the third day to give us assurance this morning. And this, the other thing I want to give to you this morning is that you and I can absolutely trust that it's the right time for God's timing in our life. That we can trust that. Regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of who you are and where you were born and how you were born, we can trust God's timing in our life. The right time is now to trust God's timing for you and your life. And that's the message of Christmas. And with this thought in mind, I'm just going to explore two areas with you here that you and I make and bring this home somehow this morning. And begin to fill our lives with peace and assurance when we think about the fact that God has perfect timing for our life. Here's the first one. Trust God's timing when you must wait. Trust God's timing. Is this hard for anybody else? It is for me. You know, I like things yesterday. That's why I like the ATM. I like vending machines. I like fast food drive-thrus. Well, sometimes. But sometimes it's hard for us to wait. When you think about Christmases past in your life, what was that one thing maybe that you waited for? And all of a sudden it came, and what a difference it made when it came. Maybe when you were little like me, there was that one present that you dreamed about, and on Christmas morning it finally came. And it seemed like when you and I were little tykes that we had to wait forever for Christmas. Now, it seems like that we take down the decorations on one day and we're starting to put them up the next. I mean, that comes with being 61. Anybody else? Yeah, I know I have friends that they get the Christmas blues. I've talked with some of them. A couple are in my mind right now. Not in this church, you would be glad to know. And they're about my age. And they get the blues. They get real depressed the day after Christmas because they just, it's just such anticipation and expectation, and they've been waiting, and it's over the next day. And I say to them, it's going to be here again tomorrow. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is when you start racking up some years. But when we were little, we just waited for that moment. Or maybe for you, it was that anticipation and waiting for that loved one to come home. Maybe it was your sweetheart coming home from battle or from service. Or maybe it was that waiting. You just couldn't wait to go see your children or your loved ones. Or maybe it was a special answer from God to a prayer that you had prayed, and it came, and you were reminded of the great gifts of God that he gave to you and he gives to us. I don't ask you this morning, is anybody here waiting on something that you've requested from God? Is there anybody here you've got a need in your life, and you feel like that there is something going on and you need God to move and you need God to answer? Well, I pray this morning that this message will bring encouragement, the message of God's timing, the message that just at the right time. You know, there's several different ways that God answers prayer. Sometimes God answers prayer. God always answers prayer. How many of you believe that if we pray in faith? I mean, he does say that
We have the assurance this morning that he hears and answers. And I hear people say sometimes, well, you know, I don't know if God answered my prayer. Well, he did. If you prayed in faith, he might have said no. Sometimes he says yes, and I couldn't wait for you to believe me for it and trust me for it and receive it. But then sometimes he says yes, but you have to wait. Because God has the right time. He has the perfect time to fulfill in you what you need. God always keeps his promises. Jesus is the amen over your life and over the promises of God. And you can always say amen and call Jesus' name in that same utterance that you and I know that it is done in Christ. And I think about the story of Christmas, and the Jewish people had to wait so long for their Messiah. As a matter of fact, not just the Jewish people, but all the way back to the time of Adam when we first sinned and our first parents fell. There was that promise that there would be a seed of the woman and she would crush the head, a mortal wound of Satan and sin and death and all that he perpetrated in our world because we were disobedient to God. But that hope that there would come a Redeemer and a Savior in Jesus Christ. And you and I see how many years that literally that Israel waited for that promised Messiah to come. The Bible says that Abraham was called by God to start the seed of the nation that would bring forth the Messiah, the nation of Israel and the tribe of Judah. And we know how long Abraham had to wait for that promised son Isaac, who was a type of Jesus, that the sure promises of God would be fulfilled in Jesus himself as Isaac served as a type. But how many years, 30, 40 years, and he was more than 100, 101 years old, or about 100 years old to be exact, until that son was born. And I don't want this to be a discouragement to you. You're saying, Pastor, we don't know the timing. But I want to tell you that while you are waiting, God is working. And while you are waiting, it is not wasted. And what we need to do is while we are waiting, we need to worship. And we need to trust, because here's why. The God who came at just the right time in the person of Jesus Christ is the God who said, my name is Emmanuel, and I will be with you. And he is the God who is with you. He is the God who is for you. He is the God who will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the God who says, I'll be with you in any age, in every age, in whatever you go through. I am not only the God of timing that you're waiting, but more importantly, while you're waiting, you're walking with me and I'm walking with you, and we can have fellowship, and I'm building and I'm developing you as you persevere in your faith. Israel had to wait. The promise, 300 prophecies given that the Messiah would minutely bring to pass and accomplish and fulfill. David, you know, David came along, the man after God's own heart. The king that God said this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, your house, David, and your kingdom shall endure before me. Everybody say it, forever. Not just 40 years, not just through Solomon and Rehoboam and all of the kings, good and bad, tyrannical and peaceful, but David, there's going to be one that's going to be born in your line. He's going to be King of Kings. He's going to be Lord of Lords. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Of the increase and the establishment of his government, there will be no end. And David must have wondered, and he must have waited, and king after king must have wondered, am I the one? But it would be God's timing. And as they waited for that forever, he said, your throne shall be established forever. Hundreds of years, perhaps maybe 1,500 years after that promise to David. Here we find it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Listen to this. Verse 31. He says the angel does to this Virgin Mary who's going to bear the Son of God, the Word made flesh, the divine Son of God coming, being born of a virgin. This is what the angel says. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And here it is. And he will reign over it forever. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will know no end. And there was Simeon in the temple that day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to be presented before the Lord and to be circumcised and to worship and to give their offering. There was that old prophet Simeon that the Bible says that he was waiting. Everybody say waiting. For the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. How many of you know it's worth the wait when God's in it? It's worth the wait when God is walking with you. It's worth the wait when God is working out all things in his timetable and for his glory and for his purpose. If you're in a situation here this morning, it may seem to you that you've been waiting. It may seem to you that it's just an impossible situation. It seems like that you're in a place that it's not going to end. I'm just going to tell you today, take heart. Because God's with you, and the message of Christmas is just at just the right time. Hebrews 10 and 35 says this, don't throw away your confidence. Would you say that with me? Don't throw away your confidence. You know, David talked to himself. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He was talking to himself, talking to his soul. And sometimes we have to talk to ourselves, and we have to say to ourselves, don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. For you have need of perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. He's faithful to perform his word. And the last thing, in trusting God's time to be the right time, is that we need to trust God's timing when it's very chaotic. When you're asking, God, how in this world can you be in this mess? God is saying, I work best in those times when for man it seems absolutely hopeless. That I reveal myself and present myself in a way that I receive glory as no other. You know, Joseph and Mary, it could not have been a worst possible time for them. And maybe this Christmas you're wondering, you know, why are things happening the way they're happening? This is it's so chaotic in my life and my family and the situations that I'm going through and the difficulties. Maybe it's a doctor's report or a word that you don't want to hear from some person that you love dearly. I don't know, but it's just like it's so chaotic in your time and in your life. And or maybe it was Cousin Eddie who just called you up and said, I'm bringing my Winnebago to park in your parking lot 10 days through Christmas. I don't know. It's not the time. It's just too much chaos. I want to remind you that God is still the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the assurance that he gives to us was sung out that night when the angel said, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you will find the babe shepherds wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men. That peace can be ours. And the fact that God's timing sometimes is what we would consider to be the most chaotic, as it was for Mary and Joseph. Can you imagine a more chaotic time? She's about to give birth. She's 9 months.
And Joseph has to go to Bethlehem to register for this census. Can you see Mary? I mean, she was as human as we are. Can you see her bouncing on the back of that donkey for 4 days over those Galilean and Judean hills getting to Bethlehem? Can you see her going through all of that time that she would not be there and her mother would not be there with her? And maybe she had always envisioned that. This is her firstborn, and she had always envisioned that when she gave birth to her child, her family would be there to share in their joy, and here she is all alone. And they get to the city, and there's no room. There's absolutely no accommodations, and it's such a chaotic night. And you know, I love the hymn, Silent Night, but somehow for me, when I read the Christmas story, it wasn't all that solid. It was solid in the heavenlies because of the hush and the awe and the reverence of God being born. But there was a hustle and bustle that Christmas, just like there is at your house this Christmas. But what we have to do is we have to push aside all of this chaos, personally in our lives, economically, relationally, all of the chaos. And we have to understand that God is at work, and we can trust His timing. When it seems like a mess, God's in the process of making a masterpiece for you and out of you. And this morning, I want us, as we come to this place in our lives, to remember Romans 8 and 28. I want you to say it with me in your heart. I know you know it. And we know. Do you know this? That all things, not some things, we don't just think they'll happen. We don't just think there's a happenstance they'll happen. But we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. It didn't say God causes everything, but it says that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. God's got a purpose, and He's got a plan for your life. It's not just generic, but it's earmarked with your name and with your gifts and your talents and your abilities and who He's made you to be. And we know that all things work together for good in your life to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then he asks, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to the chaos? What shall we say to the things that we face in our lives, even death of a loved one or other situations that can bring such heavy-heartedness? And we wonder, how is this going to work out for my good and even the good of others and the glory of God for sure? He says, what shall we say to these things? Say it with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, who furthermore has risen from the dead, and even now is at the right hand of the Father, ever living this morning in 2016 on this December the 4th, ever living to make intercession for you and what you're going through, and is touched by the feelings of your infirmities today. He's here. And we can come boldly. We can come with confidence. Yes, he says, who shall separate us, he asks, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, he quotes an Old Testament verse here, we, all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, no. Not tribulation or distress or peril or famine or nakedness or sword will ever separate us from the love of Christ. He says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Does it seem chaotic in your life? You look at that chaos, and in the name of Jesus and through Jesus and because He lives and reigns in your life this morning, you say, I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved us and loved me. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. It's like Paul, in through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, made sure he wasn't going to miss anything here. He said, any other created thing, nothing, I'm convinced, is able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. At just the right time, he is here, working, revealing, answering, fulfilling. In closing, stand with me, because we're going to go back to our scripture text today. And I'm going to ask you to read this with me and let it really just get deep in your spirit. Are you ready? Let's read this together, and we're going to not just read the first line as we did, but we're going to get the full message of what the right time for Christ's birth can mean eternally for us and individually and in the respect of our lives right now. Let's say it together. Let's read it together. Let's read it as a great declaration. Are you ready? But when the right time came, let's say it again. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's very own child. I love that, don't you? You matter to God this morning, and since you are His child, God has made you His heir. Heavenly Father, we thank You today. We thank You that at just the right time You came. And at just the right time, You fulfill every promise. We thank You, Father, that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We thank You that it's Your good pleasure this morning to give Your children the kingdom of God. We thank You that it's Your pleasure this morning to give us freely all things that pertain to life and godliness, You tell us in Your word. But we thank You most of all for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we receive Him fully and gladly to be glorified, to relate to allow Him to be revealed not only to us but through us at this Christmas season, that He is Lord of all. And we'll give You the glory. We'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Let's sing this chorus together. Would you sing it in praise and worship? And let's give Him praise. Messiah, let's sing it in praise.
Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, He is Emmanuel, the rescue for sin.
All our hope is in You. Would you lift your hands and declare that?
All our hope.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The hope of glory. Thank you, Christ, for being in us today.
Hallelujah. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
Would you just bow with me one more time? Would you just be in prayer just for a moment? I'm just wondering this morning if there may be somebody here that you would say, Pastor, in my life, I just need to trust God's timing. And I want to walk in faith. I want to walk in trust. I want to know and believe that He is at work even in my mess when I can't see how this is coming out. And maybe there's a specific situation and circumstance you're dealing with today. And above all, you want to give God glory and you want victory. And you're saying anew in your heart, I want to trust God's timing. Would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. God sees your hands and your hearts. I'm going to ask you in this service this morning just to take the person's hand beside you. And I pray that we somehow would not feel like that, well, I raised my hand. Does it matter to God? And somehow just feel like that just the joining of a hand of a fellow brother or sister is just something we do here before we close sometimes. But I want to encourage you that where two or three, Jesus said, are gathered together in my name, there I am. And I love to lay my hands on people and pray with them and encourage them personally. But I want to tell you that when you take that brother or sister's hand, that fellow believer, Jesus is there. He's there, more important than them, more important than me. He's there to hear and answer. Whatever your needs are, whether you raised your hand or you didn't, would you right now just believe the Lord and trust Him? Father, in the name of the Lord, for those that feel like that they're waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting, Lord, help them not to throw away their confidence today. As they're waiting, you are working. You're working in them. You're working on that situation, Lord, so that the time when it comes, it's going to be the right time. It's going to be the most productive time. It's going to be the greatest time that they could have ever imagined. We pray for that hope and that strength to rise up this morning in the hearts of those who've been waiting to see the fulfillment of a promise, the fulfillment of a request, the fulfillment of a turnaround in somebody's life. In the name of the Lord, we receive that today in Jesus' name. Father, for those that feel like that they're going through a difficult time, a chaotic time in their life, in the name of the Lord, I pray that they would see that just as you worked in Joseph and Mary in the most chaotic time to bring about the greatest event of history, the birth of your Son, our Savior, God in flesh, Father, that they can trust your timing. They can trust you to work through all the mess. They can trust you. I pray in the name of the Lord that that would happen in their hearts. I pray that they would get their mind off of the problem and off of the issue and see the promiser today.
to see you who never fails. Fill our hearts with joy and peace, and may your great grace be upon your people today, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing this Christmas service with us, this first service after Christmas or after New Year's and before Christmas. We've got some refreshments for you. We want you to enjoy a time of fellowship on your way out. So enjoy some Christmas cheer. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you each Sunday this month. God bless.